Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. Daryl, did you hear Ernest Biner on with us earlier by any chance?
I did not.
That's a major failure on your part. That's a terrible job. No,
way to go, Daryl.
It was really cool. He, you know, he told us, and we've had him on before, and we've talked about the fumble before, but he said that he, you know, after, you know, that football life that came out with about 95, and
yeah,
he said that's when he was interviewed for that, when that came out, that was when he was finally able to get over it, which is amazing because, like, it shouldn't have been all on him, right? Like, there's mistakes in games all the time. As Jason pointed out earlier, the Browns aren't even in a position to win that game if it's not for the great game he had, because he had a great game until that moment. And that sucks that he had to live with that so long, and I'm glad that he finally got over it, was able to deal with it.
Yeah, and you know, it was great that the Cavaliers invited him to the championship parade in 2016, and they invited a couple of the key figures from Cleveland sports heartbreak over overtime to the parade. I thought it was a great gesture by the organization. He was all smiles. I remember talking to him that day. And, it is tough because, you know, Browns fans were pretty tough on him, you know, after that. And it's good that burden has been lifted off of his shoulders and he no longer has to, you know, feel responsible for not only the Browns losing that game, but, you know, all the other failures that get lumped in to that one play in Denver.
Hey, Daryl, who's your rookie of the year?
Right now, I am leaning, if Baker Mayfield continues on his trajectory, I would vote him over Saquon Barkley, just because of Baker's impact with helping the Browns start to win games again. And I think that that's a more significant performance by Baker than what Saquon, for as great as he's been with the Giants, I don't want to discount what he's done in New York, but I think that Baker's impact has been much more significant on the Browns than Saquon's on the Giants.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's kind of
I think it's
going to
be closer, and I wonder if people, you know, who votes for the for that? Is it writers from each town or no? I don't even know.
I think the players might have something to do with that as well, but I do think it's going to be close. I mean, Saquon is extremely popular. He finished fourth in Pro Bowl voting, overall Bowl voting.
I don't think
Baker
nationally.
Nothing.
Yeah, I just think nationally, people are not going to give Baker Mayfield credit for the Browns' ineptitude in the past.
Well, I think that if he goes out tomorrow night and has the type of performance we've seen him put out there the last couple of weeks, I think he's going to get some attention because everybody is going to be watching that game tomorrow night.
I think if he plays,
that's how he'll get that recognition.
Yeah, if he plays great down the stretch, he can still win it. Barkley's putting up monster numbers.
Yes, he
but is. I said I would vote for it. I think it's neck and neck. Jason thinks it's, you know, he's heavy for Baker. I think it's neck and neck, but I would vote for Baker because I think it's hard. Even though it's fair to say Saquon Barkley's been a better running back than Baker's been a quarter. Like, if you look at Saquon's arguably been the best running back in the NFL this year, not just rookie. Whereas Baker's been by far the best rookie and a very good quarterback, but certainly not the, best quarterback in the league. So you can make that argument for Barkley, but I would contend that it's much harder to be great as a rookie quarterback than as a rookie running back.
Yeah, and that, and again, that's why I lean more towards Baker. Since the coaching change, Baker's statistics have shot up. 73% completion percentage versus the 58% that he had under Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. The touchdown to interception ratio is up. The quarterback rating is up. You know, he was sacked 20 times in his first six games, five of those starts. He's been sacked three times since. His yards per attempt is has gone from 6 to 10. So just everything has trended up for Baker over these last 5 weeks. And again, if he plays well tomorrow night and the Browns win, and if he plays well in the final two games, I think he gets serious, serious consideration to overtake Saquon. But the popular pick right now seems to be Saquon Barkley, just, you know, based on what you were talking about. His numbers, the Pro Bowl voting and all that. But by the way, eyes will be on the Cleveland Browns tomorrow.
By the way, yards per attempt for the season, even with the slow start that Baker had in those after the Jet game for those next few games, he's still at 7.65, which is 15th in the NFL. For a rookie, you know, that's really, especially because he had a, you know, if you like you said, it's been much better lately, but that's pretty good. He's 15th out of 32 quarterbacks. So you look at the other rookies in yards per attempt, Sam Darnold is 28th, Josh Allen is 31st, and Josh Rosen is 32nd.
Wow.
So that shows you where he's at there. He's ahead of Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Mitch Trubisky, Andrew Luck, Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford. I mean, he's added some good quarterbacks.
And he doesn't exactly have elite targets he's throwing at.
No.
Jarvis Landry is very good. Aside from that, not a whole lot he's throwing to.
No. So the Browns, you talk about tomorrow night in Denver. What are they doing, if anything, to prepare for the change in altitude? Have they made a big deal about that at all?
Well, they left yesterday.
Yeah.
So they got into Denver late yesterday afternoon, early evening. They held a walkthrough at the stadium today. So they had a workout in it. So, you know, they will have had plenty of time to acclimate themselves to the altitude and the thinner air and all those type of things. So that's the biggest thing, is giving themselves time in Denver. And so I don't anticipate that being as big of an issue. To me, it's the other things. It's the spotlight, the pressure that's on the team now that wasn't on this team a couple of weeks ago to win if they want to stay in the playoff hunt and things like that. I think that those are the things tomorrow night I'm very interested to see how this football team responds, because 2, 3, 4 weeks ago there were zero expectations on this team, and now all of a sudden, if they can win out, if they can get some help, we do a little scoreboard watching on Sunday, well, the expectations have changed a little bit, and the hopes have changed here a little bit, as they have some way, somehow managed to resurrect their playoff chances and give themselves at least a little bit of a faint heartbeat. But first things first, and they've got to win tomorrow night.
Darryl, we were talking about this earlier, but what's your definition of a successful season?
I think that they've already had a successful season. They could lose the last three games of the year, and I think it's a successful season. They ended all the losing streaks. They've got a winning record in the division, which has never happened before. They need, obviously, to clinch that. They got to beat Cincinnati or Baltimore in one of the final two games. So I think that still remains a priority. They won a game on the road. That streak's over. They've won on a Sunday afternoon. That streak's over. So I think this has already been a successful year. We've seen enough from Baker Mayfield here to really believe in him, that he is, that first of all, John Dorsey made the right decision with that first overall pick, and that he's going to be the up-and-coming quarterback for this franchise for years to come. So my definition right now, Jason, it's already been a success, and these last 3 weeks right now are icing on the cake, and let's get greedy and see if they can win a couple more games and go into week 17 at least with a legit chance at making the playoffs, and hopefully they're 7-7-1 at that point as they head to Baltimore.
You want to put into perspective how big this year has been and why it's a success, and you look at the offense, right? The NFL official rankings are based – you rank offense and defense based on yards allowed and yards gained, right? So the Browns are ranked 15th on offense, and they'd probably be a little higher had Baker played from the beginning, but whatever. They're 15th in offense. Since 1988, it is the second – now, we got three games to go, so they could end up dropping a little potentially or moving up. Since 1988, the Browns – have finished 15th or better one time. That was the Derek Anderson year in 2007. Mm-hmm. They finished eighth. Since from 88 to this year, this would be the second best offensive ranking. In you know, before that, they had, you know, 87 and 86. They finished ninth. But, the, you know, I mean, think about all the terrible, terrible offensive teams that they have had. Yep. And, you know, some of it's been the running. Nick Chubb has the chance to be the first 1,000-yard back for the Browns since Peyton Hillis in 2010. The most yards by a Browns running back since 2010 was Isaiah Crowell in, I want to say, 2016. He had 952 yards. So, and these guys are rookies. They're just going to get better.
Yeah, and I'll tweet this out when we're done talking because I will look it up. But they've got the 292 points scored. I remember a lot of seasons where the Browns struggled to score 220 points in a season. So I'll tweet out how many times they've reached the 292 or more scoring plateau, but since 1999. But I can tell you this, not many. And I gotta think. I believe
it's five. 2000, Darryl. Five
what's
times.
That?
Five times.
Five times.
And by the way, they've only scored more than 308 points twice since 99, and they have 292.
Yeah, 2002 and 2007.
Correct. 2002, they scored 344, and 2007, they scored 402. They're not catching the 402. Could they get to the 344, 48 points in three games?
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
oh, absolutely. Sure,
yeah,
absolutely.
They should get there. In fact, I'd be very surprised if they don't. So they're it's probably going to be the second most points scored they've had. Let's take a guess. What do we think? What do we think they get in points the rest of the way? This week it'd be hard to score a ton of points. Want to give them 23 this week?
This week I got them scoring 24.
Jason,
I think against the Bengals they can drop a 30 on them again.
That's 53.
And I think that against Baltimore it could be a little tough sledding, especially if the Ravens are still in this thing as well. So let's say maybe at least 20 points in that game.
How about we give them 75 points?
I was
going to
say 80. I was going to give them 80 over the last three.
Let's
75.
Let's do 75. They score 75 points. They'll finish with 367 points, which would be the second highest point total they've had since 1987.
Yep.
That's insane.
The second 367 they need to get to. If they score 345 points this year, they will have their second highest point total since 1987. 345 is the number. They scored 402 in 2007. So they only need 53 points in the final three games to have the second most points scored in 30 years.
They can score 53
with a
Cincinnati rookie
quarterback, one proven receiver.
Yep.
And an offensive line with some question marks at the tackles. Yep. I mean, that would be amazing.
But, yeah give the rookie of the year award to Saquon Barkley. It makes plenty of sense.
Yeah.
Well, it also puts into perspective just how terrible the Cleveland Browns have been for the last three decades.
Yes.
That's the other part of this thing, is that these numbers that we're throwing out there, those are NFL norms.
Right.
But here in Cleveland, because it's been so bad for so long, we're sitting there saying, holy smokes. Whereas the reality is that the Browns are just basically now catching up to where the rest of the league has been for the last 20 years.
Yeah. When was the last – by the way, Baker Mayfield's going to – even though he didn't play the whole season, he's going to throw for over 3,000 yards. Brian Hoyer threw for 33-26. Baker's going to get past that.
Well, he already set the rookie record for touchdown passes, I believe. He's got 19 of them.
Brandon Whedon, 33-85.
Yeah, he's gonna break Brandon Whedon's rookie passing record too.
Where's Baker right now?
28.
He's about 500. He's about 500 yards off.
About 500 yards. He should break that.
Oh yeah.
He should finish. I mean, he might finish with 3,700. That's pushing it.
35, 36. Yeah.
Whedon had 33-85, and that's the most by a Browns quarterback since Derek Anderson had the 37-87, and Baker's going to break that next year if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Easy. A lot of stats, Darryl. I mean, we killing it with stats?
It's all positive stuff, man.
Yeah, right?
You know, I mean, we're sitting here on December 14th. I wrote an article this morning about scoreboard watching and what needs to happen this weekend for us to go into next week's game with Cincinnati still alive and talking playoffs and all those type of things. And, you know, Baker Mayfield's voted rookie of the week again by fans. You got a couple of players that won fan voting at their respective positions, Denzel Ward and Britton Colquitt, for AFC, for the Pro Bowl. The teams will be announced on Tuesday night. We'll see how, you know, I think that there's going to be maybe 3 to 5 Browns make the Pro Bowl this year.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just it's nice to have positive stuff to talk about, whereas a year ago we're sitting here crying, wondering if they could even win a game.
and they can't – if they win, they can't be eliminated from the playoffs this week, right, as long as they win? Because I don't think anybody needs to – I know the Steelers need to lose all three for them to win the division, but I don't think any – in the wild card, I don't think any of those teams have to lose three. I think they all have to lose two.
They have to lose two.
Because nobody's got
the Colts, the Dolphins,
yet.
And the Ravens all have to lose twice. Now, here's the scenario. If the Browns lose tomorrow night.
They're eliminated, right?
No.
The
only way they're eliminated mathematically is if the four wild card contenders, the four teams that are 7-6, Titans, Colts, Dolphins, and Ravens, if three of those four teams win on Sunday, then the Browns are eliminated because there's no way that they can overtake and win that second wild card
spot. Wouldn't just one of them need to win because they'd have 8 wins?
No, it's 3 to completely eliminate the Browns from the equation because there's two wild card spots.
That's right, because they'd be 8-8, right? If they
correct.
Yeah, but the Browns can't get to 8 wins if they lose this week.
I understand that, and that's my point. The Browns. That's why the Browns have to win tomorrow night. And they have to win out. But even if they lose, they're still – like, as we talk right now, the Cincinnati Bengals have not been eliminated mathematically from the playoffs. Okay?
Chip in the chair.
I think Baltimore, Indy, Miami, and Tennessee all have to lose if the Browns lose.
Right. What the Browns need to happen this weekend is they got to win, and then Browns on Sunday become the biggest New York Giant, Dallas Cowboy, Minnesota Viking, Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and New England Patriot fans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the muddier the water gets, the better it is for the Browns. Because if the Titans, Colts, Dolphins, or Ravens pick up that 8th win, that kind of puts the Browns really behind the 8-ball.
Right, especially because the Colts and Titans are guaranteed to get another win, one of them, because they're playing each
other.
I guess they could tie.
Yeah. So this is going to be real fun this weekend. But Brownies need to win on Saturday.
Yeah, just win. They're eliminated if they lose.
Yes, thank you.
Unless all those teams lose.
For all intents and purposes, if they lose, they're done.
I mean, we've been bogging down in stats, but I think we just took it a bridge too far there. Yeah, there you go. All right, Darryl, we'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Enjoy the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.